Good morning. This is Fred Gillenwater, pastor of Russell Road Church in Sydney. We appreciate you joining us this morning and the opportunity to serve you. Our services are Saturday evening at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 9:30 and 11 a.m. If you would like to contact us, please visit www.russellroadchurch.com or call us at 492-6412.
Frog there this morning, so you'll have to deal with it. I did my home remedy, lemon juice and honey. Man, that works wonders, doesn't it? It really does. I took Zeta skating yesterday, and it was like the first time we went this year. And I tell you what, she has really got a hold of that. I mean, she was tearing it up, and you know, no falling down and stuff. And I was just really proud of her. You know, when I went to pick her up, my son's got her coat and she was putting her coat on. She goes, "Tell Papa what Proverbs 4:23 says, Zeta." Zeta goes, "I don't want to, Daddy." She goes, "Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life." I said, "Praise God." That right there blesses you. And I mean, she spoke it out of there too, you know? And so I made a big deal. I said, "What do you want me to buy you today, Zeta?" You know, just kind of made a big deal out of it, you know? But I want her to know, you know, this is good stuff. And man, it was just really blessed me. All right. We've been talking about the Antichrist. Boy, that's a big word, isn't it? Doesn't that sound? Yeah, it's really heavy. But we're identifying the Antichrist in us. Anti means what? Against, opposed, to challenge. So Christ means the anointing. So there's this challenge, there's this opposing, there's this being against sometimes the anointing that God is trying to develop in us. And really, that's what we need the most. Because it talks about it in 1 John chapter 2 that we're to learn from the anointing. We have the truth and we're to learn from that anointing. And so that's really what he's trying to develop in us. Because in that anointing in us is really where we will be influential and be able to affect others in our life. And our words will have weight and our actions, and they will advance God's kingdom. And that takes place when we get the truth on the matter and we're willing to change on the inside. And that's the most difficult thing to do, is to change. And that's something that the Holy Spirit is always trying to do. It says that the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us into all truth. So he's always trying to get us to change. But see, we resist that. And so that's why we want to create an environment where we can have the grace, remember, full of grace and full of truth. I repeat this all the time because it's so important to understand, is that's what the body of Christ is. It's a place that's full of grace and full of truth. And so when we come here, we extend that grace to help the people live out what God's truth demands in their life. And together we can do that. But you can't do that on your own. We need each other in order to do that. I've heard people say, you know, this doesn't get met, this need doesn't get met. Well, sometimes in the corporate body, certain needs aren't going to get met. That's why you need a home group. You need a home group and a small group. That's why small groups are important. That's where a lot of needs get met, in small groups, home groups. So if you're one of those and you're feeling something not being met, then get connected to a small group. But the idea is, every need that you have is met within the body of Christ. It's here. And the truth will be developed in you through the body. God will put difficult people in the body next to you, and the Holy Spirit will help use that to develop you so you can steward and have the character for the gift that God has placed in you, that anointing. So that's the idea. God is always trying to get you to the truth. The Holy Spirit is always trying to get you to the truth. An atmosphere of grace and truth. Man, that is so precious. And people that extend that, and mercy, and people that will extend that, man, there is nothing compares to that. Where are you going to go and get that? And really become who you are. See, that's how that happens. It happens in the local church. That's why if you're a person that you don't want to be connected and plugged into a local church, really, there's a spirit of Antichrist working with you. And you're yielding to it. It's important to be connected to a local church that's speaking the word of God. You understand what I'm saying? And the word of God is the authority. Amen? All right. We are going to go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. And we're going to resume where we left off last week. We talked about in Romans 8, it says that the sufferings of this present time aren't even worthy to be compared with the glory that's going to be revealed in us. So what we're going through, the pain and whatever it is we're going through, it's not even going to compare to what God is trying to get you to. So that's the idea. If you're going through a difficult time now, hang in there. Because God is trying to, the word revealed, he wants to reveal the glory. That word reveal, if you study out the history behind that word reveal, it was literally the picture of an artist. The first time of his showing, he had been working on a painting for a long period of time. And now he was going to the show, and he was going to uncover that painting and let everybody see it. That's what it really revealed means, to reveal, to uncover for the first time. See, God wants to show you something you've never seen before. He wants to uncover something that, oh, you're going to think, wow. And it won't even compare. What you went through won't even compare to what he wants to show you for the first time. Am I making sense? That's the idea. And that's what I want you to understand. That's why it's worth hanging in there. It's worth going through what you're going through. Okay. Now we're going to read 1 Timothy 4 through 3. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the what?
Truth.
The truth. It says, now the Spirit expressly says, remember, now's now. The Spirit expressly says, expressly means what? To make clear, to clarify, to get understanding. The Spirit of God is speaking, and he's really helping you see things clearly. And so you can make the right choices. And it says that in latter times, some will depart from the faith. Remember, that word depart is that sailor's term. They would have their anchor. They say it's time to depart. They would pull up their anchor. They would set sail. And that's what that's saying, is that in the latter times, people are departing from the faith, the revealed word of God. Whatever was holding them in the faith, they were anchored in the faith. But now they're being moved away from the faith because of these speaking spirits, these lies and all this. There's so much going on right now because of the economy and all that's going on in our world and the government and everything. And right now, I mean, it's just like these turbulent times going on out there. So all this stuff is really going to increase. That's why we got to be all the more focused on getting the truth and finding a place where we can receive that and walk in it and get as focused as we can get. Because folks, this is where life is. Life is in the body of Christ. That's where it is. It is. There's so much more that we haven't discovered yet. Now look at this. So he says, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits. Heed means to turn their head toward and be preoccupied with a notion. Sometimes you hear something and turn away, and it has, you just start to muse on it and meditate on it, and it starts to slowly take you away. That's what we got to be aware of. We got to be aware of those kind of spirits and what's being spoken in our hearts. The Spirit does what? Leads us and guides us where? Into all truth. He's trying to get you to that place of truth. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, it says this, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power is not of us, but it's of God. That word treasure is also treasury. It's a safe deposit place. It's a safe chamber. It's a place of safety. It says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Now catch this. The word treasure in the Greek language means thesaurus. That's an abundance of words. abundance of word. We have this treasure. We have this thesaurus in us, this abundance of word. Everything God does is with words. He says we have a thesaurus, an abundance in us, and it's a treasure. And he says it's in earthen vessels. That phrase, earthen vessel, it was this place where they made this pottery in Corinth, and this is what the name of this pottery, they called it Ostranosis pottery. And so that's what the word vessel means, Ostranosis. That's the Greek word for pottery. Here's how you spell it. Ostrakinos. This is what it means. It means small. It means cheap. It means breaks easy. It means inferior materials. It means shoddy. It means substandard. It means deficient. What do you think about that? Ostranosis. So he says, I put my most treasured value in this shoddy, substandard material, inferior material. That's us. And this pottery, this is the truth. You do the history on this pottery. It was the cheapest pottery. It was the stuff they kept in the basement. It was the seconds. It's the stuff that they didn't want to use because it wasn't what you serve with. This is what God says. I put my most treasured value in the one that's shoddy, below the standard, deficient. It breaks easy. Now, ostranosis is where we get the word ostracize. So when you're ostracized, you don't fit in the group. You see? But God says, I put my most treasured value in that shoddy, the one who doesn't fit in with everybody else. Are you getting this? His most treasured value. That treasury was where wealth was, riches. That's what's in us, you see? And that's what the Holy Spirit is trying to help you to understand what you have in you. You see, he's trying to show you the truth about what you got in you. And we want to run from it and we want to avoid it because it hurts a little bit. Come on, am I making sense? Ostracize. My goodness, I'll tell you what, that helps me. I can relate to that. I never fit in growing up anywhere. It's like, man, I'm like a square peg in a round hole. I was always never fitting in. But man, when I come in here, I fit up in here. You understand? And you know what? When you really see this, doesn't this make sense? There is so much in us. Now catch this. In James 4, verse 5, it says that the Spirit, capital S, yearns with jealousy. He yearns with jealousy. That word, I'm giving you another Greek word. It's pyotheosis. I'll give you the spelling on it next week. Pyotheosis. This is what it means. It also means lust. So the Spirit of God is lusting in you. He's yearning in you. It means to have a strong craving for. To have an intense craving for. It means to cry out. And it was used a lot of times in a negative connotation when a person had an addictive behavior and they were caught without their drugs and they needed a heroin or they needed whatever they needed. They would be crying and bent over, just crying out. They need that. They're struggling. They need that fix. They need that drug to meet that demand, that desire that they have. And they're bent over. And that's what God is saying, the Holy Spirit. He wants you. He's after you. He's crying out in you. He's wanting you to come because he has so much more for you. He's crying out. He's bent over trying to show you something about you. There's so much more that we don't understand. Or am I making sense? And so it's worth everything you're going through. Everything. It's worth every bit of it. He's bent over crying out for you. Man, that's a picture, isn't it? Boy, I tell you, don't you just love words? Man, it just changes things because it helps you understand. And so you're never going to get to where you're going. Easy. It's never going to be. If you get there overnight, it isn't going to last. It isn't going to last. It's always going to take time. Come on, am I making sense? You know, when you understand this, it's like, that's why you got to go through things. It's worth it. Just hang in there. And the Spirit is yearning. Is yearning. And you see, when we get critical and judgmental and start to point things at other people, you know what that is? That's a religious spirit. That's because you're not yielding to the Spirit crying out in you. That's when you start looking at negative and other and what everybody else is doing wrong, you're denying what the Holy Spirit is trying to do in you. Okay, now go with me to 1 Thessalonians, and we're going to look at chapter 4. You know, have you ever sensed that Spirit in you doing that in you? And you know what? We'll just turn away from it. But he's crying out for you. And in the next verse, 4:6, he gives more grace. He gives more grace to get it done. Doesn't mean he's going to do it for you. He's wanting that grace. See, grace is power. Grace is power to empower you to live above, to live what truth demands in you. See, we're under grace now. Moses brought the law. In John 1, it says Moses brought the law, but Jesus brought grace and truth. See, we're under grace and truth now. See? And so it says in Romans 8, I believe it's 14, it talks about sin no longer has dominion over you, for we are under grace. That's what it says. Sin no longer has dominion over you. In other words, when you understand grace, addictive behaviors, gossip, slander, all those kind of negative things that come out of us no longer rule us. Sin no longer has dominion over you, for we're under grace. See, grace is the power to get you to live above those things that used to control your life. And that's the truth. See, that's truth teaching right there. And a lot of churches aren't teaching that. There's a little bit of holiness in that. That's what we're going to talk about right now. We're going to talk about holiness. 1 Thessalonians, look at this. Okay. Now, we were just in 1 Timothy 4. It says, forbidding to marry. In other words, people say, it's okay to live together. You know, just live together and try it out before you get married. You see, marriage is sacred. It's holy. And so when people say, I'm just going to try it out before, and I'm going to have sex, and we're going to live together, and we're going to see if it's going to work. You know, you never know. You might get in there, and it may not, you know, this might not be that good or whatever, you know? I'm going to tell you something. That right there is a spirit speaking to you, because you shouldn't even think about having sex before you're married. Or outside of marriage. Because I'm going to tell you what. You talk about torment and demons. I'm going to tell you what. You're calling on them. When you participate in that type of behavior. Okay, stay with me. Verse 3. For this is the will of God. Your what? Sanctification. That you should abstain from sexual immorality. That each of you should know how to possess his own vessel. His own astronosis. His own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion or lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of, defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of us all, as we also forewarned you and testified. Verse 7, for God did not call us to uncleanliness. Remember uncleanliness? That means to be not catheterized. Remember that? That's where we get the word catheterized. And when they put a catheter in you, when you go to the hospital, it removes the impurities and the things that would maybe cause infection in you. And so that's what he's saying. For God did not call us to uncleanliness, but to what? Holiness. We're called to holiness. And holiness is not, you know, you having your hair in a bun and your skirt or your dress down to your ankles. That's not holiness. Holiness is to live a step above. It's a cut above. It's to be set apart. That's what holiness is. And see, a lot of people, when they hear that word holiness, it makes their skin crawl. They want to That's too much for me. I can't go there. No makeup or, you know, that's not holiness. That's so far from holiness. See, there's an old proverb that says, a scalded cat will flee from the cool water, will run from the cool water. See, the very thing that scalded the cat is really there to help the cat. But now he runs from what will help him because he doesn't understand it. And that's what holiness, a lot of times when you bring up holiness, people just want to, you know. But you see, holiness, when you understand it, man, that's what I want. You see that? That's what we need. That's really where our help is being holy. Come on, am I making sense? We're to be holy. Without holiness, no one sees the Lord. That's why so much negativity comes from a divorce, and because you're breaking a covenant. And if you've been divorced, you can restore and all that. God will, and God can change things and make things like it never happened. But I'm trying to show you, God has called us to be holy. Holy. Okay, now look at this. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his what? You see that? When you participate in that, you're not rejecting man, you're rejecting God. And that's an antichrist spirit. See, I really feel I need to make that clear because too many times in churches, young people think it's okay to live this way. And you know, we're not beating young people up. I'm not picking on old, elderly, all kinds of aged people, not just young people. John said, come on, get it right, Fred. No, but it's all ages think it's okay to do this. Anymore, it's just a common thing. You know, just live together, you know, make sure it's going to work. Uh-uh. See, there's no commitment. There's no loyalty in that. You know, you've eaten all the dessert before you even connected. Right? Okay, let's go to, okay, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, last week we left off with flattering words. Seducers and deceivers and flattering words. And these are what we want to be aware of. You know, here we go. Verse 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. For our exhortation did not come from error or uncleanliness, nor was it in deceit. But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the what? The gospel. You know what he's saying there? Paul is telling Timothy to go back to Thessalonica because Paul had been in Thessalonica and preached, and that whole region changed. All kinds of people came to Christ. So Paul's sending Timothy back to disciple them and make sure they're going to stay in the faith and nurture the young people in Christ. And so this is what he said. But as we have been approved by God, you see, with the gospel, you see, approved means tested. In other words, Paul had been tested in stewardship, in authority, and that's why he had such power when he went to Thessalonica, because he had been approved. Remember James 1:12? Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for after he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life to those who love him, to those who love God. You see, when you love God, you're willing to submit under authority. You're willing to go through whatever it is to steward and get it right. And now you can be entrusted with the gospel. Is this making sense? Come on, is it making sense? So that's what Paul is saying. He said, I've been approved and entrusted with the gospel. Even so, we speak as not as pleasing men, but God who tests what? He tests the hearts. He's always testing our heart. For neither at any time did we use flattering words, deceptive for selfish gain. That's what that means. Deception for selfish gain. You know what? I compliment people all the time, and I'm always encouraging. That's not flattering words. Flattering words is somebody's, you know, they keep saying this and this, and they, you know, you're not all that. And they just come back around there all more and more and more. And you know me, and you say, keep saying that to me. They're up to something. You see that? They're up to exploit you. They're after something. That's the spirit of Antichrist. That sounds hard, doesn't it? But we've all operated in that. Every one of us that have operated in that, what I just talked about. I've used flattering words before, but you're not even aware of it at times. You understand what I'm saying? You're not even aware of it. Okay. As you know, flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak for covetousness. Remember the word cloak means to put on a color needed for the moment. To put on a color needed. In other words, it's like a chameleon, how they change. In other words, they're covering up what they're really up to. And they change for whatever group they're with. They cloak it. You see that? That's the spirit of Antichrist. Okay, now look at this. For covetousness. And the word covetousness there means greed. It's all about money and them increasing, not helping people. And that's what Paul's saying. We didn't come that way. We didn't even ask for money. We came because we cared for you. Now look at this. This is so rich. Nor did we seek glory from men. In other words, they weren't glory seekers. They only wanted what God wanted. And they weren't out to please men. Paul said, if I still pleased men, I would no longer be a servant of Christ. You see, when you're a man pleaser and you're a peace keeper, you know, that right there, that's empty. You know, you just want to please that person to keep them from not saying anything to you or to try to help them make them like you. You see, that's a man pleaser. I tell you what, I don't want to go there. How about you? I want to stand and believe for what I believe, right? I want God's approval. I'm not out to get man's approval. And sometimes it's painful. You see, sometimes that's where the truth is calling you to. And in your families, when you stand up for what you believe, it brings persecution. You know, they may not invite you to Thanksgiving. They may not invite you to Christmas. Because, you know, you're just different. Huh? And so sometimes that happens. I know that's never happened to any of you, but am I making sense? And so you got to be willing to stand for what you believe. And it's not that you're going to straighten somebody out or, you know, it's you're really willing to stand for what you believe. And whatever comes, let it come. I'm after the truth. I'm trying to get to where God is calling me to. Amen. So we don't want to be a man pleaser. Now look at this. Or a glory seeker. Okay, either from you or from others. But he says, verse 7, but we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. Paul says, I was like a nursing mother. Now catch this. That word nursing, it literally meant another woman would come in to help the mother out, and she would nurse. It's a wet nurse. That's what that means. A wet nurse. Another woman's going to come in and nurse your child for you to help you out. That's what Paul said. I'm like that. I am there to help you. I'm calling Timothy. We want to nourish you. We want to help you. We want to get you. And we're doing whatever it takes. We're going to help you. Don't you like that? You see, an Antichrist spirit is going to go to those extremes. They're too concerned about themselves. You see that? I tell you, I am excited about what God is doing. Aren't you excited? I mean, it is really, these are some good days. These are some awesome days to be alive. I mean, we can shine. The light shines in the darkness. Amen?
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now.
Been listening to the radio broadcast of Russell Road Church. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at www.russellroadchurch.com. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio, 45365. We close today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.